In the name of Jesus, amen. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gave him courage and a message to preach to his judges. The same judges, by the way, who had rigged the trial against Jesus and then insisted that Pilate crucify him. What we know of Peter from the Gospels would suggest that when the Holy Spirit chose to make him bold, he was sticking to the script. This is what Peter likes to be. Now, seasoned combat veterans will tell you that bravery only exists alongside fear. No man is brave all the time. Bravery comes in waves. Peter was brave at times and weak at others. But here in our text for today, the Spirit makes Peter brave and gives him an utterance borrowed from David. Jesus of Nazareth is the stone which the builders rejected. He has become the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. An unpopular message in Jerusalem, but it changed the world. It's not very popular these days either, not in St. Louis or in any of the 35 districts of the LCMS. Yet tonight, the Holy Spirit will direct some of you to locales near and far to preach this same message to change the world. Those preachers are sent out as lambs among wolves, in the footsteps of Peter, the martyr, who, according to legend, was brave and full of faith and the Spirit when it counted the most, when he was bound upside down on the cross. Brothers and sisters, there are at least two ways to get the Spirit's role in tonight's festivities wrong. The first is to speak of the Holy Spirit in a way that denies the human agency of the church. If this view were correct, well, then the education of pastors would be a complete waste of time. All they would do is repeat what they've been taught in Scripture. That's wrong. The education of preachers is not a waste. It's necessary. Preachers must read and apply the Word of God as real men to real people. Even as God became a man, so God uses men in their particularities. He uses individuals' experiences, personalities, and the gifts of his preachers for his kingdom. He also uses their weaknesses. Peter wasn't perfectly bold all of the time, and the men receiving calls tonight won't be either. They are saints by grace, striving against sin, but they are sinners by birth. They all contend against the old man in themselves. And so it is that all preachers make mistakes, sometimes from ignorance, sometimes from laziness, and sometimes, sad to say, from malice. At some point, most preachers will face a crisis of conscience and faith. They will see their sins, their own failures, and they will be tempted to think that God sent the wrong man, that they are not good enough. That, my brothers, is a lie. Now, the second error is to go too far the other way. To be honest, it's probably more of a problem for a bureaucrat like me, district presidents and directors of placement, than it is for most of you. To use the colloquial phrase, we've seen how the sausage is made, and it ain't pretty. The call process is a very human process. The Holy Spirit doesn't use spreadsheets, but Glenn Nielsen does. And those spreadsheets have more than names and places and pious prayers on them. They have numbers. Numbers for salaries and numbers for benefits and numbers for how many bedrooms there are in the parsonage. And all of it as a point of comparison and measurement. Dr. Nielsen has, I'm sure, over the years had to bargain and cajole congregations and candidates, district presidents and mission execs. He even had to work with Fort Wayne. The men called tonight, in those same crisis of conscience and faith, will likely be tempted to think that God had nothing to do with their calls. This is all Nielsen's fault, or the DP's fault, or the broken synod's fault. Now, Nielsen does have agency, and that is important. He has had the duty to pursue, to evaluate, to foster, to bargain. He was not simply allowed to cast lots for these calls. He had to work, and that required him to use the means that God has given, including his own judgment. But in the end, despite the means, it is the Holy Spirit's work, not his. You see, dear friends in Christ, the answer to both temptations, wherever and whenever they come, is the same. God filled Peter with the Holy Spirit. He didn't whip himself into that, nor was it just his imagination. What happens here tonight is outside all of us. Christ himself has instituted the office of the holy ministry. He calls men into this ministry through his church. Oh yes, the process is full of humans, and therefore it's rife with human error and human failure and even human selfishness. But this is the Lord's church, and the Holy Spirit is better at his work than Nielsen is at his. And so what happens tonight is part of a mystical reality, a supernatural event. It was instituted in the upper room by Jesus himself when he breathed peace into his disciples and then sent them out into the world with this message. Jesus of Nazareth is the stone which the builders rejected. He has become the chief cornerstone. And so it is that God provides preachers for his church. He calls them to serve. He gives them the scriptures to open, to teach. By the mouths of those preachers, the Spirit enters the ears of hearers, and faith is born. The word never returns void, even when we cannot see the results, or it seems to us like we're sowing seed on trodden paths, on rocky, weed-infested soil. Whether we can see the results or not, it is the Lord's church. It is the Lord's Spirit. It is the Lord's word. For the builder's rejection of the stone did not stop the Lord. And so each of us is an ear who has received the Spirit's word through the mouth of a preacher. If it weren't so, we would not be here today. And yet we are here by grace in faith for the word. God be praised. This is his church. He, his Spirit, and his word will see us through. In times of plenty and of scarcity, in times of joy and of sadness, and in times of gratitude for this institution and love for our synod, and in times of annoyance and disappointment. For the Lord Jesus himself filled Peter. He set the cornerstone. He fills his preachers. He still speaks his word. Our ears still hear. He sends his men again tonight. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.